to stop at the two dots on the rubber, yeah.
Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf mem. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins a series of memras of Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Reb Chia. The first memra relates to what we spoke about at the end of yesterday's daf, or the top of today's daf, and that is, we spoke about that when a person goes and washes his hands, he's ready to make ha-moitzi, or he's made ha-moitzi and he wants to go and now eat from the challah or from the bread, and he realizes, uh-oh, there is no salt. And he says, the boy say, Havi Melech, Havi Lifton, bring in Melech, bring in Lifton. He had a machoikis yesterday whether or not the person has to make a new bracha, because this is a hefsik. He's been mafsik besicha, was speaking in between his bracha and between eating the hamoitzi.
What's the Lifton?
Lifton means relish, so Melech, of course, means salt. Now, what's the reason why a person would say Havi Melech Havi Lifton? So Rashi said yesterday, Kadesh Tehei Perusa Ne'echeles B'tam, so that what you're eating, that slice of bread, should be tasty. Why is that so important? Because when a person is making a, you're writing out a thank you note, right? Somebody gave you a small present, you write a modest thank you note. A person gave you a big present, then you go and write a much more elaborate thank you note. Oh, thank you. So nice of you, and I really appreciate it. Nishkoyach, Nochamu, etc., etc. So, if you're thanking a good Baruch Hu for giving you a piece of bread, if the piece of bread is just a plain piece of bread, no, that's one thank you. But if it's geshmak, it's tasty, it has relish, oh, thank you, good Baruch Hu. Ah, azash, tikkun breit, givaldik. So, therefore, we want to go and make the bracha that much greater, that much more sincere and important, and that's why it's better if a person has some Melech or some lifta.
The salt has no relationship to the mizbeach.
We can talk about that in a moment. But at the moment, yesterday's Rashi spoke about the back. If you look at Rashi, second of the narrow lines of today's Omid, Heviu Melech Nami Ein Tzarech Levarach. If after he said Hamoitzi, and he's waiting to eat his piece of bread, if he says, Rabbi, bring the ram, Zalt, this is also needed for the bracha. So that the prusa upon which he made a bracha should be tasty, should be geshmak, so that when he makes his bracha, he's making a bracha on something which is geshmak. Not that we are encouraging it. If there is no melech or liftan on the table, and he made hamoitzi, no, melech. He does not have to repeat the bracha, because that is necessary for the bracha. However, as Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Reb Chiya tells us now, this is all a big b'di'evit. L'chadchila ein ha-boitzei ha-rishoi l'vtoya shiviu melech ha-liftan l'vnei kolecha v'yechon. The person who's boitzei, he's the one that's cutting up the bread or the challah for the oilam, he should make sure in advance that there already is melech ha-liftan on the table for everybody, so that we shouldn't have to come on to this situation of a b'di'evit, of having to say, no, zout, but rather it should already be there in advance. And now the Gemara says, yes. And not only be a good host, we are concerned not only in terms of the etiquette and the party planner, we're concerned about the brachas, that you shouldn't have a hefsik unnecessarily. And now the Gemara told us, Rav Bar Shmuel, the same Rav Bar Shmuel who just said a moment ago, make sure that there's melech or lifton on the table, Ikla lebei Reish Kalusa, he came to the home of the Reish Kalusa, Afikul Erifta, and they took out bread, in other words, they gave bread for everyone, Ubat Salahedya. Bat Salahedya means that he immediately, quickly made a bracha hamoitzi, and he didn't wait for melech and lifton on the table. Amrulei, hodemar mishmaite, you just said a moment ago, then ain't a b'tzei reshoi liftoya until they bring melech liftan. And you will b'tzei immediately without waiting for the melech liftan. Amalahu les dein tzorech boishesh. Here you don't have to go and wait. What means you don't have to go and wait? Because it explains Rashi, the word boishesh you have a couple of times here by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe was boishesh, that people were waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down after from the har 40 days, 40 nights. He is Moshe Rabbeinu. So kiboishesh Moshe. Rashi brings here a pasuk also in from Shoftim, Kivoishish Vichpoi. Says Rashi, here you don't have to delay and wait for the Melech or Liftan. Why? Says Rashi, Kalei Lepas Nekirhi Zu, Vein Tzricha Liftan. This is such a good whole, nice, wonderful piece of bread from the finest flour. After all, he's eating in the Beit Reish Kalusa, you would expect it's going to be triple A. This doesn't need any additional relish. On this, you can go make a bracha, metegan saharz, even though there's no melech, even though there's no liftim. It's beautiful, delicious, tasty bread. That's what Rav Rashbo says. So based on what the Gemara is saying now, most of the bread that we have today already has melech in it, and therefore, l'chayra, it's already choshev, it's already tasty. We don't have to come on to the melech or the liftah. Nevertheless, Tosis is not based on the tastiness that we just discussed, but on something a little bit more, if you will, esoteric, that you should always have melech on the shulchan because of the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made with Klal Yisrael a bris melech oylem hi l'cho ulezarecho itach. If you look at the Tosis, the left hand, the first Tosis, go down about six lines before the end of the Tosis, where the Tosis talks about, well, go back three or four lines before that. In the middle of the narrow lines of the Tosis, says, fourth, fifth, sixth line into the narrow lines, says, Tosis, we are not Noheg, Tosis is times, we are not Rogil, to go Melech Lifta, Mishun, the Pashalanu Choshev. The Pasha we have is a Choshev Pas. And it's similar to the case of Rav Bashbul, that leis dain tzorech boishesh. You don't have to delay. You don't have to wait to go and bring melech liftam because it's a choshev of bread. Meal. Remenachem hoi medaktik ma'oish. Remenachem was very, very medaktik. Lehovi melech ala shulchan. Why? Ked isa memedish. Kishi Yisrael yoish ven ala shulchan. Umamtin en zeh ezeh achi yitlu yedeyem. You have a party, you have 10, 20 people around the table, and everybody's waiting for everybody to wash, because in the good old days they didn't give out slices, they had one person being Boitzeah, and then he gave out, just like you do on Shabbos. So therefore everybody's waiting, and they can't say a word. Everybody is speechless. For what? The Hain of a mitzvah. And Chas V'Shalom, there's no mitzvah going on, there's no Divrei Torah being expressed. Hasatan Nekatrig Aleim, Chas V'Shalom, the Sutton says, hey, look at these 10, 20 Jews. They're sitting around. Not one person is saying, Epsan Ivza, Masa, Atoira, Epsavertul, Epis Gunish. Bris Melach, Megan Aleph. So you have Melach on the table. That is Megan on all of the people situated at the table. So therefore, now we have more of a Kabbalistic, if you will, reason. Not so much because it makes bread tasty, but because it's a schooler to have the Melach on the table, because that's Megan on the Eden sitting at the table. Now, what you heard a moment ago from Mr. Friedlander is that there's another reason that's given, and that is it says that, Sechtes Chagiga, it says that today we don't have a Mizbeach, unfortunately, and so therefore, Shulchan Doimel Mizbeach, our tables at which we eat are similar to Mizbeach. So, because of that similarity, we know by Karbonis it says that you have to go and put Melech on all of the Karbonis, so therefore there's a custom also to go and put Melech on the bread, for that very reason, because it's doima to a carb. And there's some people that even dip the bread three times into melech, because the pasuk that tells you about kavonis, about melech, mentions the word melech three times in the same pasuk. Which pasuk is that? B'chol karban min choscha ba melech timloch, one time melech. V'leisakiv melech bris alikecha, start again. B'chol karban min choscha ba melech timloch. The same pasuk says the word melech three times. Three times the word melech, and therefore some people go and dip the challah three times into the melech. Anyway, so the bottom line is we have good reasons to have melech at the table, even besides the reason for the tastiness. And we continue on with another memra of Rav Bashmul Mishum Rav Chia Zokimar. V'om Rav Bashmul Mishum Rav Chia, unrelated Torah, but another memra of the same month. V'omar v'ein meir aglaim kolim ele b'yeshiva. If a person wants to go, this is good information for doctors and for patients, that if a person wants to totally empty his bladder, the best way to do that is if he is sitting whilst he is being mashed in, as opposed to be standing. What's the reason why? Because in the good old days, they didn't have fancy bathrooms like we have today. People used to just do it out in the field. And therefore, the problem was, if you have hard earth and the person is being mashed in, we're concerned that some of the urine may spill back, may spring back, splash back, thank you, on the person's legs or on the person's clothing, on the person's pants, and then people will see and say, oh, Chas Hashem, this person is a krus shofcha. Krus shofcha means that he does not have a proper giz. And what's going to happen is that people will say, what about all of his children? Those children are not his, they're her children, and Chas Hashem, they may have been mamzerim. So, oh, shkoyach mami.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Gimazik. Wow. Wow. Ah, tzaddik. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara. So the Gemara is telling us that if a person is standing, we're worried about the splashing back, the nitzoytzoys, those drips and drops that may come back to haunt the individual, literally, that people are going to say, Chas Hashem, that he's not capable of having children. And therefore, what would be the typical normal... what would be the typical response to something like that? So Rashi explains that normally when a person urinates, it initially starts off with a kiluach. That means it goes out with a stream. Towards the end, however, there's no longer a stream, it just drips and drops. And therefore, if it's going to be the person is standing, he's afraid that those drips and drops are no longer going to go far away. It's not a stream. It's just going to fall on his legs or on his pants. So what is he going to do? He's going to try to hold in those last few drops that they should stop dripping and dropping. Therefore, you won't have made a grind kolim, you won't be able to empty the bladder fully unless you're sitting. Why is sitting any better? Because when you're sitting, if any drops or drips fall down, they're not going to fall down on the legs, it's going to fall down in the middle because the person is sitting down. Anyway, Rav Kahana says, I have another eitzah. If he is urinating on not hard earth, but very soft, loose earth, you don't have to worry about it, it's not going to spritz back. And then you won't have an issue, so you can even do it by midah and go and empty your bladder. The elect of the chayyuk. What do you do if you don't have a chayyuk and you can't sit down? You could try to go and be mashed in a way that the stream and everything will go downwards. That is a bit of an angle, a bit downhill. And therefore, if and when we're at the end of the urination, it's not going to go and spill on him, but it's going to go downwards, and you don't have to worry about the splashing back. Downstream. And we go back to the Yom HaRavah Bar Shavu Mishmeid Rabkhir. Achar kol achilotcha, achil melech, viachar kol shtiyotcha, shsei mayim. When you're finished eating, go and throw into your mouth a little bit of salt and go and drink a little bit of water. V'yatanizik, this is an excellent idea because then you won't have any hezek. What does that mean? We'll see in a moment. Tanya v'hochi, I'll bring a rai to Rabbah Bar Shavu Mishmeid Rabkhir from a braisa. Achar kol achilotcha, achil melech. When you're finished eating, go and take some salt. Viachar kol shtiyotcha, shsei mayim. Go and drink some water. The atanizik, no hezik. San yidach. Ochel kol ma'achel v'loy ochel melech. What happens if you ate your normal meal and you did not throw in some melech into your mouth? Or shosa kol mashkim v'loy shosa mayim. If it's bayoyim, if it's during the day, yidag min reyach hapet. You have to be concerned about bad mouth odor. Or b'lai that at night, yidag min askara, you have to worry about askara. Now, what is this all about? Askara is a respiratory type of disease or illness. Some people call it diphtheria. Anyway, it's not good. You have to show the person is choking. He can't go and breathe normally. Anyway, what is this all about? What this is all about is that you want, of course, as the food not only should go down, but it should go down easily. So you always want to go and have water that's going to lubricate the system and it's going to allow the food to go down well. And apparently the melech helps in this type of digestion. If you don't do that, then a lot of the food remains within the upper bodies as opposed to going down into the intestines, and because the food inside the body gets all those juices that are trying to reduce it into health and minerals and the nourishment and nutrients and all that type of stuff, so therefore there will be a reyach hapeh, because that food which is in the middle, which should be further down, you're going to have the reyach going up. And b'lai we have to worry about askara, because if you don't have a well lubricated body and so a good digestive system, then the food stays up and it's squeezing out the air pipe, and as a result you won't be able to go and breathe normally. So that's Chas Hashem, a dagam ne askara. Now you wonder to yourself, how many people are annoyed when they finish eating that they eat melech and drink water? The interesting thing is that this is brought in Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah. The Ramah says, after yechila achol melech, ve'achosh diyotcha, shtei mayim. So if it's like, how come people don't do that? Says the Ramah. However, today that almost all macholim have salt in them, and all beverages typically have water in them, so therefore you don't have to have it all the way at the end of the meal. During the meal is fine too. So therefore, we don't have to be concerned about this, because unless you have a salt-free diet, typically all of us have salt in one fashion or another throughout the meal, and we all drink, and all of our beverages typically have a component of water. So therefore, Baruch Hashem, we're mekayim this halacha, we don't have to be noyed. Tanabat, hamakve achilasi b'mayim. The word makve means to float. A person who goes and causes his food in his system to float b'mayim by drinking a lot of water. In other words, he makes sure not just to eat, but also to do drinking a lot. He doesn't have to worry about any type of intestinal or inner sicknesses, because the water is going to keep everything nicely lubricated and it's going to flow well. Vikama, how much are you talking about? For every loaf of bread, you have to have a kitoin, a container of water. Exactly how much that is today, we don't really know. In the times of Chazal, they presumably had standard sizes for their loaves of bread and standard sizes of kitoin. They're saying for each pas, take one kitoin. Omer Meri Omer Beichanan, Harogel Ba'adashin, a person who eats lentils, Achel Shafoshim Yom, once every 30 days, Meinea Askar B'Tzak Beisai, he, Baruch Hashem, will not have a problem with Askara. Rashi explains that Adashim are very, very good for digestion, very good for a person who might be constipated, to get everything out of the system, and so therefore your system won't be clogged with all of that extra food inside, therefore the person will be able to go and breathe well. Rashi uses a term which is used today also in Eretz Yisrael, the Adashim Mishalshalim. In Eretz Yisrael, if a person has diarrhea, they call it Shilshal. So here too, that's the Adashim that cause it to be a nice flow. He won't be constipated. Gesundheit. Anyway, continues more of the Kamu. Omra Meri, Adashim Achshloish, Menei Askar. Aval Kol Yoyma, if he eats Gesundheit. If he eats lentils too often, Loi, this is Shenish Git. That already could ruin the system. My time, Mishim, the Kosh, Berechapeh, this would be bad for mouth odor. Yomer Meri Omer Reb Yochanan Harogel B'Charz V'Achas Veshem Yom. A person eats mustard once every 30 days. Meneach Halom Yitzach Beis. That's also very good against all different types of diseases and illnesses. Avokol Yom Alay. But don't eat mustard every day. My time Mishum Dekosha L'Chulsha Deliba, because it's bad for Chulsha Deliba, for the heart pressure. For it could Chas V'Shalom cause a person to be faint-hearted. So therefore, don't eat too much chad. A person who eats a lot of small fish, presumably like sardines or something, that will also be very beneficial. He shouldn't have any problems with his digestive system. Having small fish is very, very good for the whole body's anatomy and for the entire structure. It is good, it is fine, and everything is great. Rashi has a shalom with a retzach is ketzach is first pshat rashi bin sinim aforshim naila belaz avanisha mati nim zroim shazorin oisei eretz yishmar. It's some type of food that you go and plant, some sort of seed that you plant in eretz yishmar. That doesn't really help us all that much. The article says, based on the loyazi rashi, that naila means fennel, F-E-N-N-E-L, but I'm not sure what fennel is. But in Yiddish, I believe they call ketzach kimmel. Everybody knows about kimmel crackers and kimmel brights and stuff like that. So apparently, ketzach is somehow related to kimmel or related to fennel. Whatever it happens to be, if you eat a lot of that, I'm
kimmel
sorry.
Kimmel seed, poppy seed. Kimmel is poppy seed.
A licorice? There's a lot of licorice.
No, kimmel is poppy seed. No, the kimmel that they took in the bread, the little black things of poppy seed. No, it's not
that.
Okay, that's what kimmel.
Moon.
Moon is poppy seed. Anyway, so
yes,
according to Google,
you have
never Google it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you want to see a picture in the Google besides the fennel. So if a person eats a lot of ketzach, anybody think koyev leiv, he doesn't have afterwards any heart problems. This is good for the cardiologist. They should know that. May say Reb Shem Gamliel oimer ketzach echa mishishim samoni hamoves hu. Here we're saying the ketzach is so gvaldik. If you go and you rub with a ketzach, you're not going to have cave leg, you're not going to have any heartburn. Yet Reb Shem Gamliel says, ketzach echad, ketzach is one out of the 60 samoni hamovesim. There are 60 different types of bad samonim, those bad spices which are bad for the body, and one of them is ketzach. You just said now that it's great. Not only that, by Yashma Mizakarana, what happens if a person has like on some storage house full of ketzach? If he sleeps to the mizrach, to the east of that garden, and there's a western wind that causes a draft that causes the ketzach scent to go into that person's nose whilst he is sleeping, it's as if he's committing suicide. he could be a goner just by smelling the ketzach. You just said a moment ago the ketzach is very good. So to one like Kasha, Habereichoi Habitamai. So Rashi explained, Reach is Kasha, the Reach of this ketzach is Nishgit, you smell the ketzach Choynish, Batam Toy, but wherever if you toy him, if you taste it, then it's very good. And Gemara Taka tells us a story. He made Rabbi Yirmiya, the mother of Rabbi Yirmiya, afyalei rifta, she would go and bake a bread, umedabkale, and she would go and take this ketzach and attach it to the bread, and then shortly thereafter, mekalpale, and then she would go and peel it off. What's the reason why she attached it? Rashi says, achekolet hatam. So it should go and absorb all of the good tam of the ketzach, and after it's all the tam, we don't want, however, that her son, Rabbi Yirmiya, should go and be pained by the reach, so she immediately peels it off, so he gets the tam, which is gewaldic, it's tasty, and it's good for the kev lev, but on the other hand, he shouldn't have to smell it, because smelling it is no good.
What is the pshat that she peeled it off?
Why did she peel it off?
No, what is the pshat? First, what happened here exactly? She took
fennel. She took bread, took the fennel, she smeared it on top, and smeared it on the bottom, so that it absorbs all the gewaldig taste of the ketzach, of this fennel.
And before baking it, she scraped it off?
Either before baking or after baking it, before he got a chance to go and eat it, she would go and scrape it off. There would be no reah. I wouldn't say odor, scent, smell, goodish. Odor sounds like a negative. I know it has a negative effect, but it might have smelled very good. Anyway, the point is, you don't smell it, however you taste it, so you got the benefit of the tam without the reah. Good. By the way, in all of these Gemaras, it says in the Achronim that a lot of it doesn't apply today because the Nishtanu Hatidim, that was the people's bodies and the health, all that in the world, has changed to a large extent. So a lot of the things that you read in Chazal, that it's good to eat this and not to eat that, may not apply today because of the Shini Hateva. As we know, there's this hoax called the climate change that we are involved in every day. So some days they say this climate change is very, very hot, and then when you have a winter with 30 inches of snow, they say, oh, we meant climate change the other direction, that it's very cold. All right, Akasha Vamasa, back to the Gemara. Back in our Mishnah, we said that if you want to eat your rakoyt vegetables, the Tanakhama said you make a boyer priyazama, like we do. The Buddha says you make a boyer mine dishoy. We do not pass on the Yehuda. We do not make this bracha of the Bayer Minei Dishar. My time is Reb Yehuda. What's the time of Reb Yehuda? Now, what is Reb Yehuda saying? So Rashi back in the Mishnah explained, and we'll see in the Gemara in another moment, that Reb Yehuda is not saying that on all vegetables you make Bayer Minei Dishar, but rather he says, I don't like the fact that we have this very generic bracha for anything and everything that grows from the ground. Because, for instance, we have tavua, grain that grows from the ground, and we also have vegetables that grow from the ground. They shouldn't have the same bracha. So, for instance, by yirokes, by real vegetables, he says, boire mine dishoyim. When it comes to grain, he says, boire mine ziroyim. So he makes more specific brachas than we do. What's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda insists on this greater specificity? Because it says in the Pasuk, Baruch Hashem, yoin, yoin. What type of thing is this? We're thanking Hashem only during the day and not at night. Every day has its own special bracha. Rashi gives an example, for instance, that Shabbos, you go and say, in Shemoneh Esrei Mekadesh Shabbos, and Yom Tov, you're going to go and say, Mekadesh Shov Atmanim, meaning that you give special Shvach to Kodesh Baruch Hu every day based on that day. So each day is different. And every species of food, you also try to be much more specific. Instead of having a generic bracha, you have a very specific bracha. Again, since we had Reb Zeira, we bring another memra which is unrelated. If you want to go and fill up a container, once the container is already full, you cannot fill it with anything more because it's already full. So by a melech bas v'dam, or a midas bas v'dam, kli reikon, if the container is empty, machzik, then you can go and fill it up. But once it's small, ain't a machzik, you can't fill it with anything more. Two lines before the Mishnah. Abba Kadosh Baruch Hu ain't a kain, mole machzik, reikon ain't a machzik. Kadosh Baruch Hu is just the opposite. If you have a kli which is already full, then you can fill it up some more. If it's empty, you cannot fill it with anything. Shinema v'yoyma im shemoya, if you listen the first time, tishma. Im shemoya, tishma. In other words, parshim shaklan v'yoyma shemoya tishma. Goes together. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu have to repeat the word shemoya tishma twice? Im shemoya, if you listen the first time, tishma, you'll hear again. Tishma, but if you didn't listen the first time, like tishma. So what does this all mean? The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave chokhma into people. If the person has the chokhma, and therefore he knows to listen the first time, guess what? He'll listen the second time. Because Baruch Hashem, he is a chacham, therefore he can be kolate, he can go and accept more limudim and more tired. However, the person is totally stupid and he doesn't want to listen the first time, he's not going to accept it the second time either. So that's what the Gemara means, that the kli moli is machzik. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mamali, a person with chacham, with brains in his head. And if he uses those brains and he's shemoyin, he's listening, then Hashem will allow those brains to absorb more and more and more. If the person doesn't use his brains, it'll only absorb less and less. If you listened the first time and the second time, then you'll listen the third time. What I told you yesterday, if you listen to it, then you'll continue listening further. If the first time you didn't bother learning it or reviewing it or understanding it or caring about it, then you're going to say, it's not worth anything, and you're not going to listen the second or the third time either. Zug the Mishnah. What happens with the Yevon? You ate a fruit from the tree, an apple, an orange. Peiris Ilan, you're supposed to make a Boyer Priya 8, and instead you made a Boyer Priya Adama. But the Yevon, you're yot. Why? Because the trees also grow from the ground. The Peiris the Earth, however, the other way around, if you ate something from the ground, which you're supposed to make a Boyer Priya Adama, if you made a Boyer Priya 8, why yot? Because it doesn't grow from the tree. Because this halacha is so simple, the Gemara is going to ask Pshita, as we'll see in a moment. The Alkulaman, all foods, as everybody knows. We said at the beginning of the Mishnah that if you made a bracha on fruit from the tree, man tana de ikar ilan arihi, who is the man yom that holds that when you look upon the tree, the ikar of the tree, not only the essential part of the tree, but also the roots of the tree, that's all in the ground, and therefore the tree is really well grounded, so you can go and make a bracha pri adama. Now we learned Legabi Hilchoyf Bikurim. When it comes to Bikurim, a person is supposed to bring the Bikurim to the base of Middash, and he's supposed to say Agansa Shtikl Torah. And part of the Shtikl Torah, he says Menu Adama Shinasatali. We have a full Pasuk over here. Pasuk Tes, last Pasuk here on the Yom and the Torah Ara Shalem. The Atahine Hadesi as Rashis Pri Adama. He now brought the Bikurim. Pri Adama Shinasatali Hashem Binachos Ne Hashem Lekach, Vishnachmisos Ne Hashem Lekach. So the Pasuk that he says is, I brought Rashis Pri Adam. Zokta the Mishnah, Yehovi Shemayim Benitzis Ilan. What happens if the spring that has been supplying water to this land has unfortunately dried out? There's no more water irrigating the land. Or Nitzis Ilan, or the tree from which you are bringing the Bikurim, unfortunately was cut down. Then maybe the Anakur, he brings the Bikurim, but he does not say the Shtikl Torah of Atihinei Vesi. Why doesn't he? Because he can no longer say Minu Adomash and Esatali, because this land is no longer fertile in terms of being able to produce more fruit. So he shouldn't say anything. But if you'd argue maybe the Kurdish, no, he can. Because even though the Mayan is no longer due, the Elan is no longer due, but the Adama is still here. It's Priva Adama Shinasatali. What does that help me? I'm not going to be able to make any more fruits from this land now for another few years because I'm going to have to plant trees and it's going to be Arlo for the first 3 years and then Netzer Ravai and Kerem Ravai and all the rest. So if you hold that the essence of every tree is the land from which the tree grows, and that's why in our Mishnah when you say Baruch on Peiris Ilan, you make a Baruch Pri Adama, but the other way around, says Yimah Peiris Oris, if you took fruits from the ground like vegetables and you made a Baruch Pri Eid, lo yot. Written more pshit zecha zavu pashit. Amr nach ba yitzvuk le nitzvucha el Rabbi Yehuda. Amr chita min ilan hi. Ah, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that chita is also considered to be min ilan, where do we find this Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's min ilan? As we'll see in a moment, we have a shayla, Odom Rishon, who shared a fruit together with Chava. Chava shared together with Odom. The question was, what fruit is that? The Torah doesn't tell us. It just says that it was from the Eitz Hadas. So you have a three-way machlokes here in the Gemara. The Yehuda holds that it wasn't really a fruit in the conventional sense. It was a chita. They both ate together a stalk of wheat. Tanya, we have a price. In the price is like, Ilan she'achol mimena other v'rishayin, remeir oime gefen haya. This was not an Ilan. It was from a vine. They ate grapes together. She'im v'chadav v'shemei v'yolala adam ela yayin. You know what causes suffering to a person? Drinking wine. That this is referring, of course, to Noach. That Noach, when he came out of the teva, one of the first things he did was he drank wine, and he became shikur. And then we know what happened to him. Nebuch went to Canaan, Mitchom, and the Gamza Gishat. Anyway, that brought great tragedy on the world. What they inflicted on Noach himself, as well as Mitchom became Or Canaan, Eben Avadim Liyam Yaakov, etc., etc. So that caused trouble for mankind when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitzadas, they ate taka from grapes. Grapes is from what you make wine, and that causes, Rashi says, Yilol, that caused Misa L'Odom. Has it caused Misa L'Odom? Because until the Eitzadas, people were supposed to live forever. As a result of the Eitzadas, the Kodesh Baruch Hu stopped that.
That's why we say L'Chaim.
Why we say L'Chaim on what?
On Yai.
Why?
Because the board needs to something.
What you're saying is correct, but it's a little bit broader than that. There's a Gemara in the beginning of the Sechta Sanhedrin that says that Chas V'Shalom, when a person was nidoy lemisa, he was sentenced to die, chalila. So then, just like they have by the Goyim, they have this concept of the Last Supper. The Last Supper that afterwards has something to do with Yoshka, but that's already getting off the subject. Anyway, so they gave him a Last Supper, and very often you'll read about in the paper that before the guy was executed, he had a delicious roast beef together with potatoes and this and that. It was fascinating. Anyway, but L'Havdil Vayim, they used to go and give him a final drink before the person passed away. Yeah, exactly. So they gave him a drink. That drink, Chas V'Shalom, was a drink, L'Misa. That's why when people share a drink at a Kiddush or at a Tikkun, they go and say L'Chaim. This drink, Chas V'Shalom, shouldn't be like that drink in the Chazal before Chas V'Shalom person. Sentence, this drink should be L'Chaim. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara now. So that was the first view of Rameya that is Geffen. Rav Nechemiah Oimer Te'ena, how you say it was a Te'ena. Te'ena means a fig. On the thing that they were mekalko, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a tikkun. What do we mean? Shnemet says, Vosli Yisra'alei Se'ena. That afterwards, when they realized that they were not wearing clothes, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied them with Alei Se'ena. What's up, Alei Se'ena? Why didn't he give them clothes from other minim? Because since the kilko came through Se'ena, this was a tikkun through Se'ena, like a Miza, Kenegan Miza. That's why they had Se'ena. So we see that they ate from a fig tree. If you say machita, he said, "Was chita she'ena tinnik yodea likrois abav ima should itaim tam dogan." Since it's from an eight tzedas, a child, when does he start formulating any type of even simple maturity in terms of his brain, in terms of being able to speak, and up, is when he eats tam dogan, is a chasimin that is chita. So, kadaita chamin ahoy v'yomer v'yehuda chita min ilani. Since we just established that according to Yehuda, the eight tzedas was eight, it was an ilan mitatri mitos. And it was chita, so therefore, liver chalei, bari priyate, the diyevit, if a person took a chita instead of making hamoitzi, if he's eating a piece of bread, or if instead of making hoadama, if he's koisis chita, what happens if he says a bari priyate? I would think he'd be yoitzik hamash malon, that if it's something that you're supposed to make a bari priyadama, you make a bari priyate, lo yasin. Now the question is, some people say that it was an esrig, where does that come from? That's the Yushami. Yushami says it was eight tzedas, it's an esrig. And he brings the raya from the pusik. It says in the pusik, "Vateira isha kitoyva eitz lamachol v'chisav v'hilenayim." Kitoyva eitz lamachol. Says Yishami, kitoyva eitz lamachol. When's the last time a person ate an eitz? You should take kitoyva pri lamachol. It's a symbol. We're talking about that unique tree, the tam eitzay upir yeshava, and that is, of course, the esrig. And therefore, that's what Yishami says. That's what the eitz was an esrig. There's a minhag in the haim. Some people probably still do it today. That on the Hoshana Rabbah, that women would go, and a pregnant woman would go, and she would bite off the pitum of an esrig. Gratis says in Minchas Luzah, they shouldn't do it on Hoshana Rabbah, they should do it after Yom Tov, because Hoshana Rabbah is still hooked from the mitzvah, because you could still use it for the Tilus Luzah. But that's a very strange meaning. Why would they bite off the pitum? So they say a Gamta Tfilah, and that Tfilah is that they say that the reason why we pregnant women unfortunately have to go through all the labor pains and the pregnancy pains. It's because they ate the das, because there was our four mother from many, many, many years ago called Chava, and she had a mitzvah of esrig, and she was not supposed to eat the esrig, and she ate it, and that caused all the pain and suffering throughout the generations. I have the same mitzvah of esrig. I've been holding this esrig for 7 days, and I did not eat from it, Rabbi Yishalel. I think you're telling me I didn't have any desire to eat from it. Oh, I did have a desire. The first minute, I gave a bite into the esrig, but I held myself back until that moment. So therefore, in that course, I shouldn't have the labor pains that we have as a result of Chava Imei. Yeah, what's up there?
Two things. One is the Ramban says the uncle says it's
Esra. Uh-huh, okay.
In terms of the weed, Tozla Mahal is the weed is, until it's prepared, you can't eat it. So
right.
How would you say something?
When he more said before, a koseis chitim, a person that is chewing chitim makes a very priyazam. So I've never chewed any chitim. I doubt if anybody here has, and that's probably because you can get commercially and go and get chewing gum. But apparently in the good old days, before they had chewing gum, they used to go and chew the chitim. And apparently it was tasty, it was a nice treatment. Maybe that was in the game. You know, and on Shabbos they give for the children, they go and give oinik Shabbos, they give them nash, so probably they give them little bags of libers or blooms. Wheat kernels, and they probably chewed that years ago before they had chewing gum and other types of nash. Anyway, looking at back to Hey Chmorchinon Boire Prio 8. Hey Chasa Oh, stop. So, what's Saka the Kamash? And why Saka, according to Yehuda, would you not make a Boire Prio 8 or Bidiyevit? Why would the Boire Prio 8 help for Chita? Hey Chmorchinon Boire Prio 8. Hey Chasa, the Chishakas, the Peri, Isil, the Gavza, Behar the Mappi. That's only the case with the tree, that after you cut off the fruit, it's still the tree remains, and it produces new fruit for the next year. Mashenke v'gave wheat, zolti gemara, avo hecha v'chishak v'fei v'peri. We remove the wheat, in other words, you harvest it from the ground, less v'gave, so there's no longer any roots, there's no longer a tree left. So the hardamatic that will produce new fruit, that's why you don't make a v'preis, but when you coice it, you make the v'preis pre-ho'adam. I believe that they say that that's the basis also for bananas. Most people that eat bananas, they don't make a bari pri'etz, they make a bari pri'doma. Because there too, when you harvest the bananas, there's no tree left. You have to start with a new tree for next year. So I don't know that you have to plant a new tree, but you go and cut off the whole stem and the branch and the whole thing with it. It's basically now almost down to the ground. You have to wait until it reproduces some. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara of Al-Kulan, Omishahakul Yoyotza. Now there's a machoikin who we say Al-Kulan. Does that mean all foods mamish, or does that exclude pas v'yayin? Because of the fact that they are so choshem that they have their own bracha b'fnei atzmai. Pas, as we know, has a moitzi lechem and aretz. Hamoitzi or moitzi? Which one? Good. And then hamoitzi. Very good. And why don't we say moitzi? Doesn't everybody agree that moitzi works?
We'll go back a couple.
You slur the words.
Because you're worried about slurring the words, because oilam and then moitzi, the two mem, the Torah said it. Yeah, very good. But it says min oretz, moitzi lechem min oretz. The mem and the mem, those are also going to slur them. So he said, but we have a pasuk in the Torah that uses that min oretz, so a pasuk in Tehillim, matzmiya chotzer abheim lo v'eitz lo avoydez adam lahoitzi lechem min oretz. So we're just quoting the pasuk. Oh, shkoyim lezi. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara, the shaila is, what happens if on a piece of bread or on yayin, if you made a shahakal or you yotze, if my Ravuna omer chutzman a pasim in a yayin, but Rabbi Yochanan omer afilu pasi yayin. So machloikas of Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. Name it Tanoi. Let us say that we have the identical machloikas not only between Amiroi, but between Tanoi. Raw pasi omer, kamen no'o pasu. Oh, look at this bread, gewaldig. Borucha mokim shibiro'o. Kodesh Baruch Hu, thank you. You're blessed for creating such a beautiful bread. Yotza, he doesn't have to make a new bracha. Just go and eat. You shouldn't even say, Melech, Melech. You should go and quickly eat it, because he made an effective bracha according to the Meh. Ruat Ein Abi Oma, what happens if he sees a fig, and he says, oh, Kamenor, Tein Ezuch, Chazui, Shein, Baruch HaMokish, Baruch, thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yotza, Tiver the Meh. The Biyoisi, Oima, the Biyoisi, give me a break. You got to go and follow the text. You got to follow the rules and regulations. This is a beautiful bracha. Come and know it, but you're not yoytze. You got to follow the text. Ah, so name Rav Huna the Amar Kamiyosi. Rabbi Yechonamah the Amar Kamiyosi. So the Chayyim Rav Huna that said that you have to make a bracha of hamoytzi, or you have to make a bracha very pre-govern. He said Rav Huna, you're not yoytze with shahakar, because that's not the text. That's not the Madbeir Shetavuk and Chomer brachos. On past the yayin. That's why you're not yoytze. Mashein could have Yoichanan, if Yoichanan that said that you are yoytze even on past the yayin with a shahakal, he takes a more broad approach, if you will, not such a strict standard. And he says, you know, it doesn't have to be gansin, mishanim, matbeya. If you go and say a bracha, which is ken, is also good. So just like Rameya said, if you go and say, Boruch hamokim shebra, you're yoytze. If you go and say shahakal, you're yoytze. I can hold like a mayor as well. Even though I, Rav Huna, said that you cannot make a shahakal and pass the yayin. However, I agree with Rameh, because I've come to come Rameh Hossam al Hechel, they come at Midkash made a pass. At least the person said, pass. They said, Kama no'a passu. Clearly he's making a bracha on pass. And therefore, that bracha passed. And it worked. It passed the test. Abel Hechel, like a Midkash made a pass. He doesn't even say the word pass, he just goes to Shahakal and Bidvar. What's the Shahakal? What's the person eating?
That's Pasnish.
That's Pasnish. Oh, Tazai Brother Shai. So I feel that a man might even a would agree that it does not work. Shahakal, if you would say Shahakal pass Bidvar, maybe that would work. But Shahakal and Bidvar, that doesn't work. Rabbi Yechon, I'm not the only one that's feeling Rabbi Yossi. I can hold a Rabbi Yossi. Ad kamei kamei Rabbi Yossi, Hosam, Mishim, Dikama, Brocha, Glitchkin, Rabban. A person made up his own Brocha. That he said, Kama no'o pasu, Kama no'o se'inazu, Baruch HaMokot. It's a beautiful, beautiful poetry, but the mice, it's a bracha, but like Kina Rabban. Rabban, we're not mistaken that. Avul Oma Sha'ach, Levit Varej, the Kina Rabban, that's one of the many brachas that the Chachamim were mistaken, and therefore he's not being mishana, ni madbeya shetava Chachamim bracha, he's saying a proper bracha. It may not have passed. Lechat chila for pas and for teina, Avul HaMaisa is a bracha. So the Yoyse might even, the Yoyse would agree with me that Shahakal works for the pas, and for the te'ena and for the ayin. Okay, so that's the machlekes. Now the Gemara tells us a story about Binyamin Raya. Binyamin the Raya, the shepherd. Korach Rifta, he was breaking bread. The Omer, and he said the following bracha. Borich Mori Dai Pita, I thank and blessed should be the Mori, the master of this bread. So what is that good or bad? Omer Rav Yotze, he doesn't have to make a new bracha, just go and eat. He made a good bracha. The same Rab said, if you don't mention Hashem's name, ain't a bracha. And he didn't mention, he just said the bracha of the master of the bread. Who is that? He says, you're right. What Rab meant to say is, Omar, he said, Baruch Rachmana Morei Dehai Pita. Rachman is one of the pseudonyms for Hashem. So therefore, Baruch Rachmana Yechankari Rachmana means Rabban Yishloim, who is the master of this bread. Don't you need three brachas? So Gemara is now talking about, we're not talking now about the bracha rishona. We're talking about gzuntayt. We're talking about birchas hamazon on benching. Just by saying those five words, baruch rachman and mori dai pita, already yotze, my yotze, to my yotze to come around. Now the yotze yidei bracha rishona. From the three brachos of benching, yotze the first bracha of hazon esakai. From this you have to continue on noyze l'cha, but at least you've been yotze the first bracha of hazon esakai. Right? I'm sorry?
No,
we're talking about the first bracha of the three brachos achronos of benching. Of course, we say four, but we're talking about the three midirais, so that's why the Gemara was mentioned. Before the Gemara didn't address it. And even the word bracha rishona, initially you can think that that's the equivalent of the hamoitzi. The reason why I'm saying it goes in azon is because if you look at the Rashi, Rashi says on the second line, yidei bracha rishona. What's the third line? What does Rashi say? Birchas? From the very top of the Rashi. Top. Second line. Yidei Bechor Rishayna. Brichas says that. Rashi is on, he goes Brichas on. Then why did Rashi even go to Brichas on? The Chayil would be easy to go and say, they're talking about the Hamu Yitzhak Hamanar, right? Brachor Rishayna. You'll see why in a moment. So to Amayka Mashalan, what is the Chiddush of Rav in saying that you Yoytza the first Bracha benching with this shortened version? Aye, the Chayil, the Chiddush is Avgav the Amu Lashon Chayil. Even though he didn't say it in Lashon Kodesh, he just said it in Aramaic. And therefore, you yoytze with that. That's the Chiddush. If that's the Chiddush, Tanina, that we already learned. Where do we learn it? It's a Mishnah Masechtas Soita, where there we're talking about various parashiyot that you have to read from the Torah. The Eilin, the Mar, Mechol, Lashon. The following can be said in any language. It doesn't have to be Davka in Lashon HaKodesh. The Parashat Soita, that the Soita has to go and say. And the Vidui Meiser. The Vidui Meiser is when a person brings Meiser in the third year, he has to go and say, Bi'ad, the Kurdish Menabai, it's a Gamma Sassel, the Lady, the Gayel Yasel Amona, etc., etc., Agam Savita. U Kriyashma, Kriyashma that you say every day, Utvila and Yashman Esrei, U Birchas Amazon, and Benching. You're Yoytza if you say it in English, and you're Yoytza if you say it in Aramaic, the Chol Loshoin, the Loshon Chol. By Kriyashma in particular, we learned Shema, the Chol Loshoin, Sha'atan Shemea. Any language that you say is out is good. So, Ibazoi, so what's Rav's Kiddush? So Binyamin Raya said this in English, in Aramaic. So the Chayyim, what's the Chiddush of Abba? Shteik Tachan HaMish, you can go and say it in Aramaic. So the Gemara, well, one second. It's so good. I mean, how do you mean the Amra B'Lashim Chayyim? Kiech Nekin Rabbana B'Lashim Kodesh. You take out an art school sitter, and you say the whole benching in English instead of in Hebrew, but you're saying the English equivalent of the Hebrew words, So then I can understand, okay, so you didn't say it in Hebrew, you said it in English. If you just make up your own bracha of these five words, obviously that's not the entire Birchas Hazanas Olam, Chuloi B'tuvoi, right? It says 30, 40, 50 words, and he's just saying five words. So I would think, you're not yoytze, kamashim olan, that even that type of Lashon Cholos, you're also yoytze, even though he didn't say the translation of all the Hebrew.
You can bench our old sprach tomorrow.
I'm not saying that you do lechitul, but the Lamaisa, the Gemara says it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Halach lemaisa, you have the Shulchan
Aruch. Yes, thank you,
that's for sure. Right. This story of the Binyamin Rashi.
Where are we switching here this morning?
The reason why Rashi says the bracha rishona is birchas hazan, because the Gemara said ma'ika mashmalan, we have a mishnah. What is there in the mishnah? Birchas hamazon, but that mishnah doesn't talk about the bracha rishona. Only talks about benching. So that's why Rashi is saying. I'm assuming that's why Rashi is saying that even though it's the bracha rishona, which I might have thought means the moitzi lechem in aretz, but since the Gemara is saying what's the chiddush, it already says in the mishnah. Hamoitzi doesn't say in the mishnah. Birchas Hamazon says in the Mishnah. Oh, that's what Yomar said, the first of the three brachas of Birchas Hamazon. Yes, Rabbi Newman, yes.
Why does Yomar go away from the mitzvah kasha of changing from the
Shetav HaChacham?
They went away from the whole
that was Rabbi Yossi. But now the Mishnah in the Sech Tesoitis tells us that you can say Birchas Hamazon, the Choloshin. So the Choloshin would include any way, form, or shape of thing. So that Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. It doesn't have to be the Matreya Shetav HaChacham Ebrach. So the Gemara writes, "Guva Omer Rav, Kol Brach She'in Bo Askar Hashem in Ebrach." We just mentioned this a moment ago, that Rav holds that if the Bracha doesn't have Hashem's name in it, that's why originally when we just thought that Binyamin Raya said Baruch Mori Dai Pita, he was not Yoytze. So no, he said Baruch Rachmana Mori Dai Pita, because you have to mention Hashem's name. It's not enough just to say Hashem's name, it also has to include Melech HaOlam to make it into a full-fledged bracha. We had this machlokes already earlier on in our
Masechta.
Instead of
using Hashem's name.
I'm sorry, Nahum?
The person
says
Baruch to Hashem instead of saying out Hashem's name.
Hashem.
He's saying
Hashem instead of Adai? Instead of Adai,
yeah.
Do you want to know the yaitu with that?
Yeah.
The Gemara doesn't address it. I would assume so, but the word Hashem literally just means the name. If you can interpret that to mean the name of the Holy God, then you're great.
Okay, fine.
Anyway.
In capital.
Yeah, and how do you pronounce it in capital letters? You tell everybody. And now I'm saying it in an uppercase.
Okay.
You're going to correct him anyway. Anyway, Kobra Hashem Malkus in Abraham. So Rabbi Yochum says it has to be not only Hashem, you have to say Melech HaOlam. Omer Rabbi Kabasi de Rav Nistav, I'll bring your Rai to Rav from a Braita. What is in Braita? The sign. When the person is doing the Bidu Maisa that we said before, then he says, Le'evartim Sisech V'loi Shechachti. Teich the Braita. Le'evartim Sisech means, Le'evartim L'Vrechecha. I didn't forget to go and make a bracha, Rabbi Yochum. V'loi Shechachti M'lehat Kishimcha Olam. And when I made my bracha, I made sure to go and be masked the Shem. Be the Malkus, but the Bryce doesn't say anything about Loyabarti, Loy Shechachti, Malhafka is a Malkus. It just says Malhafka Shimcha. So you see that for a bracha, the Chodi only need a Shem. Rabbi Yochanan Tani, Rabbi Yochanan said that Bryce is not a Kasha on me, because we're just going to make a small modification to the Bryce. Loy Shechachti, Malhafka Shimcha, O Malchuscha Olav. Not only when I make my Vida Maitre, I say Kodesh Baruch Hu, I didn't forget to make a bracha, and I didn't forget in my bracha to be masked both the shame and the malchus. Because when Rabbi Yochanan, without the malchus, you're not yoytze your bracha. Look at the Mishnah Baita, well, Dovishen Gidul Menar, something which does not grow from the land. Until now we spoke about Bayer Priya Zoma, Bayer Priya Eitz, we spoke about the pas, we spoke about the wine, all those things come from the ground. But there are a lot of things that don't come from the ground. For instance, we're going to have meat and we're going to have milk. They don't grow from the ground. So things which you're not going to do in others, you make a shakuni bedvai. Ala chomitz vala noivus vahala goivoi, oim shakuni bedvai. Chomitz is, of course, esig. Esig is vinegar. Noivolus, we're going to have a machloikis in our Gemara. But according to both Mandi Amram, it means damaged dates. Vala goivoi means heishrikin. Heishrikin are locusts or grasshoppers. All three of these, the Mishnah is going to call us in a moment a min klola. What means min klola? Because they're not the way we would want. The chaymitz was originally wine, and it went sour and it became vinegar. The noivus, instead of being nice, beautiful tamarim, beautiful dates, unfortunately they got damaged, as we'll see in the Gemara. And a goivoy means the locust, the grasshoppers that damage the crops. So all of these are a min klola, if you will. The Tanakhama says, nevertheless, if you eat any of these three, and of course the goivoy, we're talking about kosher grasshoppers, we're not talking about non-kosher. Anyway, you make a shahakol nibid bar. If you do oimer kosher min klola in yivorchan olam, since these three are associated with something bad, you don't make a bracha at all. You can eat it without making a bracha. Of course, we do not follow the Yehuda, but that's what the Yehuda holds. How do you define a minim harvey? What happens if you have many different minim? What bracha do you make first? The Yehuda oimim yesh b'neim min shiva alavu mavarach. If you have a min shiva, meaning one of the shiva minim shesdach ben Eretz Yisrael, that you make a bracha first. Chum oimim mavarach al eitz mehen shiyirta. The Chum say you can go and make a bracha on any one of them, whichever you desire most. Because according to the Chachamim, you want the bracha to be chal on a dover chovid that he really likes. Because that means he's thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu. Oh, I love this! As opposed to going and eating one of the shivas amina, which you may not particularly like. Yeah, okay, you know, a fig or a date, I could take it, I can leave it, nishkapela. But I really love to go and eat apples or cherries or whatever. The machloekes is between Tanakam and Chachamim, which you should make a bracha. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, 1 second.
It depends. Yeah. It depends on the type of food that it is, for example. If you're eating meat and vegetables, you prefer the meat.
So,
because,
yeah,
we had that before.
It's true.
You can't just do what you want, because that's your desire.
Which you're saying makes a lot of sense. In fact, if you just turn for a moment to Mem Aleph Omer Aleph, tomorrow's blot, starting on the fifth line, Omer Ula, the Machloikis and Amisha is Bishop Bechoyseyan Shovois, that the bracha is the same. That we're making, in our case, we're talking about two different types of fruit. You have on the table, you have apples, and you also have grapes. Some people like apples better, and some people like grapes better. So the Tanakham, it's the same bracha, but because grapes is one of the shivas aminim, make a bracha on the grapes, even if you don't particularly like grapes as much as apples. But make a bracha on the grapes, because that's the shivas aminim. Says the Behuda, no. Since I particularly like apples better than grapes, make a bracha on the apples instead of on the grapes. So that's the Mitzvah tomorrow. That's exactly what you were saying. Zokti ma, tana rabba. Yes, yes, Rabbi Abimah, I'm sorry.
The chomet is something you don't drink. Why do you make a bracha?
I mean, Gemara talked about shemen before. It could be the Gemara will address this. Remember, if Gemara talked about shemen, when would you ever make a bracha on shemen? After all, you don't drink oil. So Gemara said it's talking about that you mix the oil into some other beverage, and the reason why you put a lot of oil in it, because that was good for the body, or for medical reasons, or whatever. So when you have something where the ikar of the beverage was the oil, you made the bracha on oil. Here too, presumably the Gemara is going to say that if you mixed in the vinegar and something else, and that was the major part of the food, and that's why you're eating it, you would make a bracha on the vinegar. And that's fine. It's totally unknown. People don't normally just drink vinegar from the bottle or from the cup, but presumably it was mixed with something else. So it's about Tanrabat. I'm going to say you do a minute art, something which is not good from the rank of Goy. Vasa behemois, chayos, va'oifois, the dogim. If you're talking about meat, or you're talking about fish, you're talking about chicken, all of those you make a shahakl. Aim a shahakl, nibid bar. Ala cholof, if you're talking about drinking milk. Rala beim, talking about eggs. Rala gvina, or cheese. Aim a shahakl, again a shahakl. Now, I don't know why the next line is brought, because these things are not Dover she'ein gedulim min ha'aretz. Halapas she'ipsha, if you have a bread that became moldy. Valiyayin she'hikrim, and you have wine that has kind of little crust on top of the wine to show that it's spoiling. Valatav she'ol she'obetzurafe, and any type of cooked food that is also is spoiling. And all of these you make a she'hakol mi'bidvar. Because these things are not part of this laundry list of Dover she'ein gedulim min ha'aretz. Anyway, we continue on. Ala melech vala zomis. Melech is salt. Zomis is salt water, zaltwasser, like you have on Saturday night, valkameim upitriois, and on different types of mushrooms. Oy mishahakl. What's the reason why, after all, kameim upitriois, that's gedulim and ours, doesn't it grow from the ground? Memra, are you telling me the kameim upitriois, lav gedulim karkaninu, that not considered to be gedulim karka? What the anya? Hanoidim upitriois to ours, the person who makes a maiden not to eat from upitriois to ours, also upitriois to ours, whom must it be kameim upitriois? You're allowed to eat the kameim upitriois. However, the Imamar called it Uli Karakolai, anything that grows from the ground, also at the kemein bepitcher. So you see that gidui karka includes kemein bepitcher. So how did he say over here? I'll double shein gidui min aaretz kigoyin kemein bepitcher. I'm Rabbi Nirba Rabbi Meir. Meinik le yanki Meir. The story with the mushrooms is the following: the mushrooms start to grow from the ground. You see mushrooms on the ground; they're growing from the ground. They don't grow in the middle of the ear, they're going for the grass. However, they don't get any nourishment, they don't absorb from underneath the ground. Typically, anything else that grows from the ground gets a lot of nourishment and minerals and nutrients and all that stuff underneath the ground. This stuff is just on the ground. In fact, if you pick up a mushroom, you'll see there are no roots to the mushroom. So how does the mushrooms grow? Based on moisture and on the ear from on top, as opposed to taking anything from underneath. Ah, so therefore, says Gemara, they are, in a sense, like gidulei karka, in a sense, they're not gidulei karka. So for purposes of our Mishnah, our Braisa, when we said that these are not gidulei min ha'aretz, because they don't really grow from the ground, they just grow on top of the ground. Freit Gemara, but that shot, I understand the distinction that you're making, but the choreda is still shver on the Lashon. Why is it shver? For al dovesh gidulei min ha'aretz k'tani. After all, in the Braisa, we use the expression, the following things don't grow from the ground. We know that meat doesn't grow from the ground, and fish don't grow from the ground, but kemeinu pitzios and eggs, but kemeinu pitzios do grow from the ground. They're talking not yoinik min ha'aretz, but they are gedulei karka. So why do you say they're not gedulei karka? After more three, al dovesheni yoinik min ha'aretz. In fact, change the braisa. Tanu rabbana, not al dovesheni gedulei min ha'aretz, but al dovesheni yoinik min ha'aretz, that there's no, it doesn't absorb any nutrients or minerals from the ground.
Okay, so that's why you have a Gemara.
And that's why you have a Gemara. Exactly right. That's where the Gemara comes in.
It's amazing that they understood that.
Agriculture society.
I know, but it's amazing that it's such a profound insight.
Good. And we continue on. Val ha-noivlois, it said in the Mishnah, and ha-noivlois, you make a shakalim midvar. The question is, my noivlois, the liver below, chad omer, bushli kamra, the chad omer, tamri dezika. Both Bushli Kamra and Tamar Zika involve tamarim, involve dates. Bushli Kamra, however, is referring to dates that have been lying out in the sun, that they're not just sun-dried dates, they are sun-burned dates, because you forgot to put a suntan lotion on these dates, and they are burned to the core, and therefore they're basically inedible, they're like a piece of wood, similar to what we had on Chamish Usa, when you have a piece of boxer.
We have all these dried fruits. We have dried fruits.
But they're edible.
They're high level.
Not the Bushli Kamra. If you look Rashi, almost halfway down the Rashi's on the left hand, Bushli Kamra, to my Srufi Kamra. They're burned by the sun. Shabishlam, the Sorfam, Hachoyim, the Yofshu. They're so totally dried out. But tomorrow, hey, Kamra is Choyim, to my Mechem Rebisra. Anyway, these are really black. They are really hard, okay. Like a piece of wood. Did you ever eat a piece of boxer?
Oh, yes, I did. My wife.
Did you afterwards go to the dentist because you had a cracked tooth after that? Okay, but you understand what I mean. That's what these fish become. It's really.
Why the shackle boxer? For shackle boxer.
Maybe it is a question. I don't. I stay away from boxer.
Because boxer can grow that way.
Anyway,
never say that. That grows off the tree.
Anyway, regardless. Mechavista means that the meat got heated up. So we're actually trying to bring a riot from the word kamra, choin means heat. Mechavista means that the butter got hot. Anyway, getting back to Agumara, so that's, they're talking about Bushna kamra, that's the noivlois. Chanomet tamar dezika. Tamar dezika, says Rashi, means simple. Tomorrow, the sheruach meshiran. Then instead of staying on the tree, the draft of the wind came and it blew them down to the ground and they hit the ground. Okay. So what do we say about those noivlois? It says in the Mishnah that you're supposed to make on that ishahakom yibidvar. So the more of tanan, but the righty said it to the Mishnah of Yudah, in the koshu mim kolovein bevorchon olov, mashma that Rabbi Yudah is addressing the Tanakhama, and he's saying that these three, the noivlois, the choymets, and the gevoi, these are all considered to be mim kolov. The Mishnah on the Yomar Bush, the Kama, had to call it mim kolov. Then I understand why it's mim kolov, because it's basically inedible, it's so hard as a rock. You can't eat it, because it's so hard, it's so dried out. What's the minkola? Okay, it fell to the ground. So it's takalu shmutzik. You have to rinse it off and cut off the bottom or whatever it is. But it's not the klola. It's okay. It's got a shmutzik. It fell into the mud, whatever. The Tamar Shara, in the Kanami, we're talking about the other two. This would not be a case of the minkola. Igriyami is another verse. Mishlam on the Yom Bushli Kamahidim Vachin Alayu. Shakal. I understand why you make a shakal on it, because it burned to the crisp. Just because it fell on the ground, you go and make a shakal. If you have a fruit at home, and by accident you dropped it and fell on the ground, and you got to shmess it a little bit, or all of a sudden you make a shakal on it. If the Torah or the Gemara, the Mishnah uses the expression noivus on its own, that means bush to come. That means the those that are dried out, burned by the sun. That's bush to come. You know, keep ligging. Where's the machlokes that we have between Rav Zeira and Rav Yiloh? Whether noivus is bush to kamra or kamra zika is not if it says noivus on its own. If it says the words noivus tamra, then you have a machlokes. So therefore, back in our Mishnah, when it says noivus, everybody agrees that since we're talking about shahakoy, it means that it was totally sun-dried to a crisp. Then shahakoy. But if you're talking about the other type, the tamra zika, that's not the definition of noivus. But it might be the definition of noivus tamra. What's noivus tamra? Not. We have a Mishnah B'sech with Zemai. Zemai, normally when you go and buy fruits or vegetables or tzvua from an amaoret, you don't know the amaoret gave miter or not. So you have to be machmer and you have to give maitre. The reason why it's called the mai is because you say, doh mai, del shtikl doh, doh mai, what is it? Did you give maitre? Didn't you give maitre? You have to be machmer, you have to give maitre. Okay, however, the scholarship is the mai. There are certain species that you do not have to give maitre, and the reason is because they are so cheap in the marketplace that the Amoritz Kimberstein, you should go and give the maitre because it doesn't cost them that much money. He's proud to be able to say, I gave maitre. How much the whole maaser was worth? 2 cents. Okay, but the maaser, he gave it. So Kalanchim is the maaser. The following, which are all very, very cheap in the market, Yahashitin, Vaharimin, Vauzrazin, Benoy Shuach, Benoy Shikma, Gufnin, Nitzvah, and Noivlois Tamra. That's why we brought this thing, the Noivlois Tamra. Okay, now what are all these things? It says, Yimar Shitin, Amar Rabba Bachana, Amar Biyachana, Min to Einim, and they're only going to add Chibritha, white figs, which apparently are very, very inferior quality figs. And therefore, the owner doesn't mind giving mice. Rimin are candy. For Uzredin, that's Tulshi. When Yeshuach, Amr Rav Bachana, Yoichanan, Te'eni Chibritha, it gets similar to the sheetan that we had before. Those are Te'enim Chibritha, Och Te'eni Chibritha. Goyen changes it here too. And he says, Mim Te'eni, it's another type of things. When Yeshikma, Amr Rav Bachana, Amr Yoichanan, Duvli, oh, this is the famous Duvli. Gufni Rashi, Loi Gufni. The Gufni explains Rashi means grapes. But these are not grapes that grow during the normal season. These are summer grapes. Summer grapes apparently are never on the same quality and level of winter grapes or fall grapes. So therefore, that's considered to be inferior. And Nitzvah we had before, that's the Tzlach. That's the caper bush. Pircha is the Peiris. That's the Evioinis that we have from the Nitzvah. We had this on Shabbos. The Evioinis with the Kafrisin. Fascinating Gemara. But finally we get to Noivlois Tamra. That's the final one of this list of the Kalan Shebet Mai. What is the Noivlois Tamra? Ribbalah Ribzeirach, Adam Ribushli Kamra. Those are the dried out by the sun, the sun burned dates. Chadomah, Tamra, the Zika, those that fell down to the ground. Okay. Sidi Mar Bishlam, Mani Ribushli Kamra, Hendrik Tanya, Akalan Shebet Mai. Sveikinu the Potter, that's why it says by the Mai. Chasofik, I don't know if Amoritz gave or didn't give. That's why we say you bought it. However, if it would be Vadai, then you'd be Chayiv. If you're talking about Tamarin that were thrown down by the wind, typically the owner doesn't care anymore. It's anyway Shmutzik, it's on the ground, he has to wash it. He's mafkir it. It could be also that the tree is going over the side of his gvul, and therefore it falls on the road, and people are going to step on it, and cars are going to go over it. So it's basically happened. Anything which is hefker, there's no din of tumas and maizris, because it's only something that belongs to you, not when it's hefker. So tomorrow, hagamayiskin is just on garden. It's talking about that there was a person that collected together all the tamar de zika and made from it a ganza garden. Garden means he made it into a large quantity, and that's his mother. Even though leka shichu peya, I'm sorry? Well, it's similar to Leket. In both of them, you gather from the floor because the Balaam basically are Makkah said, I'm not going to bother. But they are different in the sense that Leket is typically, for instance, if you're collecting Tua, and as he's cutting, one or two fall down on the ground. So he just leaves it there. So that's called Leket. Here, too, it's the Peiris that fell from the trees. He just leaves it there. So that's old Hefker. So now, Leket Shikhupay is potter min ha-maiser. However, son Goyen, if you have an Oni who is very, very good and he collects a lot of it together, you see some of these homeless fellows that they are able to collect 500 or 600 cans or bottles and make a ganz industry out of it. So it's a ganz Goyen. So here too, if you make a ganze leke chikopeya, or these tamer dezika, you make a ganze goyish, hook for the mice, mizra bonan, you have to go and give mice. Then a toyer is already part of it. But then you have to make mice. Ikeli amri, another kasha, based on the yama tamer dezika, had a dark and karel and noibu, some mahasim karel and tamer. After all, we said in our Mishnah that the word noibleis only means the kamri. That's the bushly kamra. Mashenka, when you talk about the noibus, the tamra, that has both definitions. That was the machoikis, whether it's tamri zika or bushly kamra. It's bishlam on yama tamri de zika and the haka kari lo noibus tamra, wasam kari the tamra, to go and distinguish between the two. One is noibus and the other noibus tamra, and never the twain shall meet. These are two separate terms. Elamandi of the both of them are bushly kamra. This the Ida be Idi Noivus Samra, or Ida be Idi Noivus Samra. Why in one place do we have Noivus and the other place Noivus Samra if they both mean the same thing, Bushpik? Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagi Ben Tatsu. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagi Ben Tatsu.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Okay. We're over here.